This episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/driveanddish. Again, that is audibletrial.com/driveanddish. We also have a link on our website, driveanddishpodcast.com.
This is the Drive and Dish Podcast, talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy.
Part of the Almighty Baller Network.
We haven't even started yet!
The Drive and Dish Podcast.
We start right now.
Well, this is going to make Media Day even all the more interesting. It's something that it happened right after we dropped an episode. So it's been like a week. So it's not new news. Kevin Durant is these ghost accounts on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And somebody says he @ Kevin Durant and he says @ Kevin Durant, man, I respect the hell out of you, but give me one legitimate reason for leaving OKC other than getting a championship. And Kevin Durant thought that he was commenting under his ghost account that he apparently has. And he says he didn't like the organization or playing for Billy Donovan. His roster wasn't that good. It was just him and Russ. Imagine taking Russ off that team. See how bad they were. KD can't win a championship with those cats. And what's funny about this is, you know, I think for the last year, everyone was like, KD doesn't like playing with Russ.
Yeah.
KD doesn't want to play with Russ. And I read this and I was like, man, Russ was the only reason KD wanted to be on that team.
Right. Russ was literally the only reason. That was something else that happened right after those tweets happened. Serge Ibaka tweets out, wow, ... I'm like, yeah, if I'm Serge Ibaka, I am pissed. It's like, bro.
Well, Kevin Durant left after Serge Ibaka left.
Right. But I mean, they played together, and he essentially was saying he was trash. This is essentially what happened. I mean, so we do, obviously, we do our own Twitters, our own personal Twitters, and then we have the Drive and Dish Twitter, and I have personally a few others from work that I can be on. And I'll be honest, there have been times where I've thought I've been tweeting from the Drive and Dish, or I've been thought I was tweeting from my personal account. And I tweet it, and then next thing you know, I'm like, oh, crap, you know, I tweeted from the wrong account. I got to switch that real quick. But you notice it almost instantly. There's no way you tweet it, send it, and then are just like, well, I'm going to bed. I'm good.
Well, this was a reply.
But you notice, like, the picture of your profile is at the top left corner on your phone, on Facebook, wherever you're doing it from. You see it. So, like, after you post it, you still notice, oh, crap, I did it from the wrong account. In KD's defense, I think even if he did that and deleted it, it would have been screenshot 1.5 million times before he could get it rid of it.
Dude, hilarious. Okay, so the Warriors play OKC November 22nd. It's the first time. The booing and the fan reaction in it's OKC. It's a must-watch game. I want to see what day of the week this is. Let's see, November 22nd. That is a Wednesday. It looks like I'm going to take that Thursday off of work so I can stay up and watch this game.
That's going to be, hopefully by the time that happens, I'll have my new position and I can stay up later and watch these games. I'm super excited for the NBA season. I know we're getting pretty close. I think at this point, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
But yeah, it's close. Media Day, obviously, is on Monday, depending on when you were listening to this. It might have just happened, but for the sake of when we're recording it, it's happening on Monday, Media Day. It should be a lot of fun. Also, you know what's a lot of fun? The Drive and Dish Podcast, which you're listening to right now. No Kevin Rayfuse this week. He is gone. My name is Tim Tompkins. Behind the boards, keeping us honest, producing the show, Mr. Justin Cousart.
I literally look for something to pop a SIM card out with for an entire day until I realize my earring can. I'm so happy this guy's in the league now. These tweets are awesome.
Lonzo Ball.
No, De'Aaron Fox.
Oh, man.
Also, I will say, earrings do work to pop out a SIM card in your phone. I don't know why he's got to be popping out a SIM card that much, though. Like, that's a quality tweet by De'Aaron Fox.
I wonder if it has something to do with being an NBA player. And being an NBA player, I mean, you are super rich. You probably have multiple phones. Your family has one phone. Like, even Kevin Durant, not to bring it back to him, but he has a completely separate Instagram account, for example, that his brother-in-law, I think, accidentally tagged him in a photo under his fake account, or not fake, but his, you know, his personal one with a fake name.
That Reddit found that. Reddit stays undefeated. They found that. That's like the weirdest thing. Don't get on Reddit's bad side, man. Like, jeez. That's like my biggest fear, is that we're going to say something on the podcast, it's going to be interpreted wrong on Reddit, and we'll just get destroyed for like weeks. Just like,
oh, Lord.
Personally attacked. They're insane. Oh. One of the things we did last week is we were asking you guys to help us out and leave us some reviews on iTunes or whatever you're listening on. And Tim did this one where he was going to give you guys some shout outs if you just commented Ball Don't Lie and gave it a 5-star. So I guess we got to check in with Tim. Tim, how'd we do? Did we get anybody that wanted to do this?
We got 5. All right.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm gonna start this off. All 5-star reviews, obviously. Bible Watcher, thank you. Josh Campbell 71, thank you. Swaggy P the Kid, thank you.
I hope that's actually Swaggy P, by the way.
Joscar 82, thank you. And Squawker, also Squawker said a couple of things.
Oh.
He said, if nothing else, it's a great way to start off a review. If nothing else, you can always trust these guys to bring you some great NBA analysis, humor, and truth. You know why? Because Ball Don't Lie. Oh, we actually got 6.
Oh.
And Lil Rock 9 with Ball Don't Lie !8.
Oh.
And the ball says, this is a great podcast. Fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji. 100 with the little 2 lines underneath.
That's when you know it's legit. That's when you know it's legit right there. So thank you, everybody, for those reviews. And, of course, if you want to leave us a review, it does help us out. Just, leave your comment and whatever amount of stars you think we deserve. But, obviously, a 5-star would be preferred on our end. But, you know, we're not going to force anything on you. So you're allowed to have your own opinion.
And so for all of our Drive and Dish NBA podcast listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Seriously, it is awesome. And for those of you who haven't figured it out and listening to the podcast, I'm a bit of a nerd, so I'm going back and I'm rereading Lord of the Rings, and it's nice because I go on Audible and I start with the Fellowship of the Ring, and I can go back and just get it right on any device I want, whether it's on a Kindle, whether it's on my iPhone, whether it's on my MP3 player, it can be right there. And as soon as I get ready to read The Two Towers, I can just get the next one. They're all on the service, and that's not it. Over 180,000 titles that you can choose from. If you're an avid reader, it's a no-brainer. audibletrial.com/driveanddishNBA podcast. Go to that link. You get a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook download of your choice. Again, to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/driveanddish. Again, that's audibletrial.com/driveanddish.
So I am on Twitter at work, actually, for work. And all of a sudden I look over at NBA Twitter and there's LeBron James calling Donald Trump a bum. There's Donald Trump telling Stephen Curry he can't come to the White House. Then you have Chris Paul saying things. Then you have Kobe Bryant chiming in. And I mean, basketball Twitter is just
like on fire.
It's so lit. And I'm like, man, why am I working right now? And so, but then after I think everything's done and this is going to be the story for the weekend,
nope.
Then comes the Woj bomb. Melo to OKC, who apparently, and Justin, you did all the prep on this because I was working.
Yeah, I have the trade here if you want me to say.
I do, but apparently Paul George and Russell Westbrook were huge in making this happen.
Yes, the full deal is the Thunder are going to send Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott and a protected 2018 second round pick, which is the pick that they got from the Bulls when they did that flip. I kind of found it funny first with the Kanter. We'll kind of go player by player, I guess.
Uh-huh.
For Enes Kanter, this is, in my opinion, a terrible situation that just happened for you.
For a Kanter, I don't agree at all.
He just literally last week said that OKC is his family.
Right.
And then they traded him.
Yes.
So we'll get back to that.
And that was following the Kevin Durant thing, right?
That was following the Kevin Durant, all that.
Said he didn't want to play for OKC and blah, blah, blah.
Yes. So poor Kanter in that deal.
Who apparently also has a New York apartment and stays there over the summer anyway.
Yes. So good he's there now. for all this to happen, we've talked about this, Melo had to, or is going to have to, waive his no trade clause, which is going to cost him so that he can't get traded, which they're saying will happen. All plans is for it to go through Monday morning. They were also saying the other kicker between Westbrook and Paul George is that Tony Weaver, who is the Thunder assistant general manager, was with Anthony in Syracuse and helped recruit him to Syracuse. So there's another familiar face in the building. Obviously, a lot of them talking about how Anthony's main team that he wanted to go to was the Rockets with James Harden and Chris Paul. So this created a really cool theory in my mind. Like, Tim, if you are Melo, right, and you're looking at two teams, Chris Paul, James Harden, Westbrook, Paul George, who would you rather play with?
Oh, if I'm Melo?
Yes.
Chris Paul and James Harden, hands down.
Why is that?
I feel like they would get me the ball.
They're going to pass the ball to you a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, he didn't have much of a choice. I mean, there's a whole lot of other variables in that situation for him. And again, like we've been saying, Monday is kind of the start of everything. The Thunder now have his salary, so their cap is going to rise to $134 million this season.
So they are already $34 million above, more than $34 million, but $36 million above the luxury tax line. And then Russell Westbrook has not signed the extension yet.
So there's a lot of money wrapped up in those guys. Although a lot of people saying, you know, bringing Anthony, bringing Paul George in, and if they play really well, maybe Westbrook stays, maybe Paul George stays. And so that's the other theory with this, is that it really does help the Thunder potentially going forward with these guys. Now, the question being is, where in the West does a Melo, Westbrook, Paul George lineup land you? Record-wise, like, does it boost you above anybody, or are they going to kind of be in the same spot that we always thought they were?
Fourth.
Yeah. Right. Does it get them any higher in your mind?
Well, it depends, really, whether or not, like, is Melo going to play the four?
That's one of the things that's been going around. You have Steven Adams, who's obviously going to be center. Then you have Roberson. Now you got me all messed up because you've been saying it wrong for so many years. And then you got those three. So it's like, where does it all kind of fit into place? And those would be the main five guys, I would assume, going forward. And you're going to have to make it work somehow, put somewhere.
You know what I was thinking is they could put Paul George as the two guard.
As the two, I was going to say try to move him over to the four, he's already vocally said he doesn't want to do that.
And so did Carmelo Anthony, but he was originally two, right? Okay. When he was playing with Danny Granger. Mm-hmm. So you would move Paul George to the two, you would move Melo to the three, or keep Melo at the three, I guess you would say, and then you'd move Roberson, however you say his name, to the four, and then that's his natural position anyway. Mm-hmm. If it were me, that's what I'd want to do.
It seems like an easy fit. Obviously, I think in general the lineups are going to be coming out for the Thunder is going to be super intriguing, and obviously going to be wanting to pay attention to it a lot.
Does that get them above anybody else? Does that get them above the Spurs or the Rockets? Or I think it makes it much more intriguing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to be close with the Rockets. I think I don't think they're above the Spurs or the Warriors per se.
They be better than the Spurs though?
Potentially. I want to see how it works out defensively. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to really need Roberson to help with Melo's defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how they're going to pair it out. Then we're going to have to see some games from that before we start saying that they can beat out the Spurs. And then, again, with the Spurs, it depends if LaMarcus Aldridge, if they can find a way to get him out or move him if they do, you know, halfway through the season or wherever or whenever that happens. So I think it could, but there's going to be variables attached to it. You know?
Yeah, and it just happens to be that opening night, we do have OKC versus New York.
Yeah.
Which
a lot of teams that playing each other game one are trading.
Right.
So from the Knicks side, I think it gets really interesting because you now have Porzingis, who you can focus on keeping him happy, which is good. And then you have Willie Hernan Gomez as your center, who seems to be the center that they want to develop going forward. You bring in Doug McDermott. You have Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, and obviously at your point guard positions, Frank, Raymond Sessions, Jared Jack, which they brought in. I don't even think we talked about that on the podcast. Mm-hmm. They brought in Jared Jack the other week. So for Enes Kanter, the reason I don't like it as much is because he's going to now be sharing a lot of minutes between if they want to throw him at the power forward position with Kristaps Porzingis, Kyle O'Quinn, if they want to try the center position, Willie Hernan Gomez, who they do want to develop. Then you got Enes Kanter, and I mean, you're paying Joakim Noah, so you got to at least put him on the court.
They're stacked up front.
Right, right. But I really like the idea of a Kristaps Porzingis power forward, Doug McDermott small forward, Willie in the middle. That's really going to be intriguing because Doug McDermott's like almost a 40% three-point shooter. Kristaps Porzingis, we know, can drain a few threes himself. That opens it up a lot. Willie Hernan Gomez can grab a ton of boards. And
as could Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter's like one of my favorite players. I just want him to get more time.
To be fair with Enes, he's on a one. His deal is up after this year. So if it doesn't work out, it's just 1 year. He can end up going somewhere else. If it does work out, you stay. But I think it works out more for Doug McDermott out of the two going to New York because Doug's going to be the obvious one at the small forward position, I would assume, although, I mean, I wonder what they try with Courtney Lee. I wonder what they try lineup-wise with that as well. But I really like the idea of Kristaps Porzingis, Doug McDermott on the side, firing from the corners, and then Willie in the middle. I really like Willie.
I know you do. I know. Are you going to draft him in fantasy?
Oh, man, I don't know. I can't give away any of my strategy.
Yeah, I got you. I was actually, one thing I tweeted out, I was thinking, I wonder if this is going to bring up Enes Kanter's value in fantasy. And I don't mean to bring it too fancy, but our drafts are coming up in like a week.
Yeah.
And now that Justin, you have so eloquently laid out all the reasons why it will not,
yeah,
I'm like, damn it.
I mean, but that's the thing.
If the minutes aren't there, the minutes
aren't
there.
They've put so much into Willie Hernan Gomez last year, although they didn't talk about it. They were starting to, you know, as the season was going on, he was getting more and more minutes and proving that he could handle them. Mm-hmm. And I really like the way he's been developing so far. So him, Kristaps, Enes Kanter, although there's a few, I wonder how Kristaps Porzingis and Enes Kanter get along because they've in the past been photographed together, like hanging out and stuff. So I wonder if they're friends or if there's like a chemistry thing there as well. I mean, congratulations, Melo. You're finally off the
right.
Knicks.
Yeah, you're finally off the Knicks.
It's a weird Knicks chapter that's coming to the end.
Finally.
I'm sure Knicks fans are breathing a sigh of relief. And
I'm sure everybody in all the organizations involved at Media Day.
If you want to see what we talk about on the show in picture form, follow us on Instagram. Just search Drive and Dish Podcast. So we're going to try something a little bit different this year. Normally we do division previews for however many episodes out that we need to do it. And what we decided to do this time is kind of change it up where instead of picking specific teams and analyzing them really in depth, we're just going to look at the main 40 big burning questions going into the NBA season. And of course, if you have any burning questions, you can always just hit us up on our social medias and we'll add it into our list of questions we're going to try to answer. Each episode, we're going to answer up to around 10 questions. Seems to be the plan, and you know, go as in depth as we possibly can in them. So this is episode one of our 4-episode NBA preseason burning questions thing.
season outlook.
Outlook, there it is. That's what I was looking for. I was like, I know there's an actual name for it, but it's not coming to my head right now. So.
Yeah, so we're doing it this way. And, you know, a full disclosure is one, the reason why we're doing it this way is because I didn't feel like doing division previews again this year. I just said, no, I don't want to do it.
I don't feel like doing it. But essentially, we will get into hopefully every single team at least somewhat, you know. Obviously the more buzzed about teams might have a few more questions, but we're going to try to hit every single team with at least one or two questions and kind of dive in.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that I give credit where credit is due. Who actually came up with this was Greg Esposito for my other podcast, the Solar Panel Phoenix Suns podcast. He was like, hey, let's you know, get into the sun season this way. And I thought, you know what, that's a really damn good idea. So
I gotta ask, man, 40 questions specifically for the Suns.
We're doing 50.
50, is that easy to come by? Like, are you, towards the end, is it gonna get to like, all right, what are we gonna?
Well, I'll let you know. So far, we are on episode 2.
Okay. Are you doing
fine? Of the 5-part series. So far, we're doing fine.
Okay.
Well, you know, because not to get into the Suns, but, you know, they're making moves this week.
Well, they did a whole bunch. Yeah.
They're signing Troy Daniels. They're signing Anthony Bennett. They're, you know, signing Alex Lynn. They're just really going all in on the quality talent that's available out there.
I got to ask, I saw Joe Mullinax talking about Daniels, saying that they think the reason that the Grizzlies left him let him go was because he can only really shoot, and you need to be able to do more than that.
Yeah, he also talked. Troy Daniels is the guy that Devin Booker got in this huge on-court fight with, and Troy Daniels called him a garbage time scorer. And Devin Booker fired back with, you know, you've been on five teams in 5 years, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, of course the Suns signed
good.
This guy.
We should, chemistry.
And all for a second round pick. But alas, let's start. This is not about the Suns. So first question, who is most likely to win MVP this season? Obviously, that award last year to Russell Westbrook.
So would it be a cop out if I said LeBron James?
No.
Okay, because, you know, you look at the team that's going forward for the Cavs, although I love the depth, I love what the team's done to move forward, they definitely took away that number two scorer, which was Kyrie, for Isaiah Thomas, who has this hip problem, who may not be back as quickly as, you know, the Cavs have hoped, and obviously isn't going to be able to play a ton of minutes right when he comes back, and there's going to be some, you know, getting used to the team. So I think LeBron James is really going to have to step up in that. I saw that someone was saying that he's coming off his highest rebounding and assisting season of his career, third highest field goal of his career. And I've noticed with Kevin Love, whenever Kevin Love does have a big game, it's always kind of quiet. So you never really hear this big, like, oh, Kevin Love dropped 30. Even if he dropped 30, they don't really talk about it that much. I could see it being LeBron because of what he's going to have to do for this team while Isaiah Thomas is recovering and what's going on with that. Although, I would like to say I wouldn't want to count out, like, Kawhi Leonard. You know, I wonder what your thoughts are with Harden, CP3, Paul George, and Westbrook. Like, are those guys going to counter each other out almost?
Well, I think and that's something that I took into account too when I was picking mine, is I think there's going to be a certain amount of voter fatigue when it comes to Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. I also think there's going to be a learning curve when it comes to playing with Paul George. And then to your point with James Harden, because I thought, man, maybe this is James Harden's year. He's been in the discussion so many years before, but it's never really happened. And then I was like, but he's going to be playing with Chris Paul. He's going to be taking the ball out mm-hmm. of his hands a lot of the time, yada, yada, yada. And so I don't think it's going to go to anyone in the West. It's not that I disagree with your choice in LeBron James, because in my notes, I put West voter fatigue, mm-hmm. you know, just well, with that side. And maybe they do want to give it to somebody in the East. And if it's not LeBron James, I was thinking if Kyrie Irving gets the Celtics, that number one seed.
Yeah.
Does he get that? Because I think this might be the year where Kyrie Irving is poised, especially from a national media dialogue process, all the attention he's going to be getting, that maybe it could be Kyrie Irving.
Well, my thoughts with that and with Westbrook is I feel like a lot of the reason we gave Westbrook the award, and not to take away from him because what he did was phenomenal, but a lot of what we gave him credit for was not like record of the team or how the team played. It was more him specifically getting a triple-double, and that like is phenomenal, historic, so he deserves this award. And I feel like having Paul George is going to, you would assume, take away some points and then maybe drop them below that triple-double mark. So, yeah, I agree with that. I wonder how much CP3 and Harden are going to take away from each other. I mean, when you look at it, when KD won, he had Ibaka and Westbrook still dropping a bunch of, you know, bunch of stats back in 2013 and 2014. He still got it then. And actually, I think that's back when Reggie Jackson was there. Pretty decent playing time from him as well. With Irving, I think I would wonder how much Gordon Hayward would take away from him. You know, if Gordon Hayward's not producing and not being the number one, because that's my question with the Celtics going forward, is who's the number one guy? Kyrie says he wants to be the number one guy, but and I guess Gordon Hayward talks about wanting to be the number two guy. He kind of mentioned it a bunch when he was in with the Jazz. So it looks like it could lay out that way, but I just wonder where the scoring is going to come from. Obviously, with the Celtics, we don't know what it's going to look like yet because we just haven't seen that team play. How much are you going to discredit Giannis?
Oh, man. Giannis, it is.
Like, what seed does he have to get to? Like, if they're the third seed or fourth seed, like, does that
have
to go?
I would think top three.
Yeah, you would think? Okay. Because, yeah. If you look at his numbers compared to, like, Kevin Durant, for example, they're pretty close. Like, he obviously...
Apart from the percentages.
Right, apart from the...
At least, free throw and three-point.
Three-point and free throw are both a little bit off. But in terms of, production and advanced stats, they're all fairly similar. So Giannis, obviously, looking to get there, he needs to improve on some of the stats. But, I mean, he's still really close to Durant, obviously not getting as many wins. But, you know, Durant's on a different team now, and so I wonder how much Giannis is going to get looked at this year, and if he keeps getting better. Like, if this year is another step up, I wonder how much the national media is going to catch on to it.
So we do seem to agree, though, that at the least, there's a really good likelihood the MVP comes out of the East this year.
Yeah, I think it. I really think I have a feeling it's going to be LeBron. It just kind of seems like it's going to be him.
It kind of depends on him, though, doesn't it? You know, yeah. He didn't do it last year. He didn't take that long break during the middle of the season. But whether or not LeBron has a one-foot-out-the-door mentality with this team.
That's also going to be, I guess, another factor is if they trade that first-round pick for, say, some crazy stuff happens, Boogie Cousins comes over.
Marc Gasol.
Like, that's going to... I got it roasted for him on Twitter the other day. Jesus. He's like, God, nobody agrees on that. And everybody was acting like, so I think I talked about this, but and we're getting off topic, but we can get back. I asked, is Marc Gasol better than Nikola Jokic? And everybody that responded was so far right or so far left. There was nobody in between. And both sides were like, you are dumb for asking this question.
not only is it definitely person A, you're dumb for even asking.
Right. But then after they would say that, I'm like, okay, you say this, but I have three people on the opposite side saying the same thing. So obviously somewhere we're wrong here. Somebody's not right, and we need to talk this out and not just discredit everybody. That's what I'm hoping to do here. No one was willing to do that. So it's fine.
Marc Gasol is probably the best center in the NBA. It was just my opinion, very subjective.
A lot of people were saying Jokic because in the future he's going to be potentially better.
Well,
you know,
sure.
the stats
but
are
you
similar.
Didn't ask the next 5 years. Right?
I said last year who was better, and Jokic hadn't played a full season the way he was playing. It was more half of a season. Marc Gasol developed that 3-point shot. I get what they were saying, but they misunderstood my question. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are on that. So moving on to our, I guess, 38th question, we're going to go down in our question numbers here. The question for this one is, what superstar that changed teams has the most to prove in your mind?
Chris Paul.
Oh, really? Why is that?
He's never made it to a Western Conference Finals. He's had a lack of deep playoff success. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're talking about a legacy at this point where he's on a damn good team, a team that's much improved from last year, where he's playing with probably the best shooting guard in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I just think there's a certain amount of expectation when it comes to what the Rockets should be able to do this year and some of the pieces they added, not just with Chris Paul, but you can look at the addition of PJ Tucker and some of the two-way players that they were able to add to their roster, that they should, in theory, really be able to compete and run deep into the playoffs. I don't think anybody really thinks that they should be able to beat the Warriors, but I think likely heading into the season, the question that we're going to be asking ourselves a lot on the podcast and the national media and things like that is, can the Rockets do it? Can the Rockets do it? So yeah, I do think it's Chris Paul.
I was going to go with Brook Lopez.
Really?
I mean,
because he's in a contract year?
He's in a contract year. He's gotten a pass for being on the Nets for not having to be the leader or the veteran leader of his team and teaching the people and rallying them around him because he was on the Nets. No one expected them to win. Now he's in LA. The spotlight is on.
Right.
No, seriously, though. I feel like it's a cop out, but Kyrie has a lot to answer. He made this request to be traded because he wants to be the number one guy on the team. But then you look at it when he was on the Cavs without LeBron, and he was the number guy. They weren't good. The first non-LeBron James lineup I could find from last year only played 15 games, and when they did play, it wasn't that great. They only played for 46 minutes. It was Irving, Love, Jefferson, Shumpert, and Thompson. They had an offensive rating of 110.4, but a defensive rating of 110.4. So, you know, obviously not that great. So I wonder how he can lead an offense and if he can win, you know, being the number one guy on the team. I think there's a lot of questions with Kyrie, and he's going to need to answer them. Whereas, you know, some of the other guys last year, although Kyrie was playing really well, that was the way I was looking at it, is who last year had like a slump in their stats, changed teams, and is now going to have to prove that it was just because he was unhappy where he was. Like, Paul George still was scoring really well, I think.
And finished the season really well, which is something Paul George doesn't always do.
Right. So I feel like a lot of the players going to these new teams in terms of production, we know they can do it. I just think with Kyrie, he's got to prove that he wants to be number one. He's just got to prove that he can be number one.
Yeah, I actually don't disagree with you at all. I specifically just didn't want to have Kyrie Irving as two of my answers in a row.
That's kind of how I felt about it. Like, I was like, is it anybody other than Kyrie? This is such a cop-out answer, but I mean,
no, you're probably right. Kyrie probably does have, because Kyrie's the player that, you know, people say he's your franchise player, but most people are like, eh, but he's really not.
Yeah.
You know, he did say, I don't want to play with LeBron James anymore and, you know, ask for the trade and everything like that. So to your point, that is a little bit different. Whereas, you know, Chris Paul, when he went out, he even made sure, to a certain extent anyway, by doing that sign and trade, that at least the Clippers were going to get something back.
Did you, did you see the memes that were coming out because Kyrie was late to like meet with Brad Stevens or something like that?
I didn't know.
He was having, apparently Kyrie was having car troubles, so he was late to like show up and talk with Brad Stevens or something.
This car breakdown?
Yeah, I guess he said car trouble, and so they were posting that LeBron James with like the glasses and the like cigarette out of his mouth, and it was like, oh, that must be your spark plug, $200, I can fix that. And LeBron James retweeted it and was like, you guys gotta chill with these memes, you made me laugh out loud with this one. So I think, you know, that's LeBron James's way of being like, yeah, good luck over there, buddy.
Sticking with the Celtics, question number 37. Only four players from last year's Celtics squad are returning. How likely is it that they can truly contend with the Cavs as the number one team in the East? And by number one team, we are talking about the regular season record, number one seed. We are not talking about playoff success.
Well, I guess my first question to you, so that I can gauge your interest in this, I guess, is How important is it for the Celtics to be the number one, in your opinion?
How important was it for them last year?
Right. And that's the way I look at it. It's like, I don't see getting the number one seed as like a must do for the Celtics. I think you take this year, there's, like you said, there's only four players coming back from last year. I think you have to get the chemistry right. So take the season to get the chemistry right. Make sure everybody knows how to play with each other and go into the playoffs. If you're a four, if you're a three, if you're a two, wherever you are, make sure you guys know what each other's doing and then really turn it on. And whenever you meet the Cavs, you meet the Cavs. I don't think it matters the seeding. I think they could be up there. I can't imagine it takes a whole season to get used to each other. You got the preseason, all that stuff. They can work that stuff out. It is a whole new team, though, so I am interested to see how long it takes, but I could see it taking maybe till, like, you know, the All-Star break. You know, it takes them half a season to get there, and then the rest of the half, they really turn it on, and I just wonder how many, like, stupid losses they get for chemistry issues or something like that. But I think, I mean, they could be number one. I don't think it matters to be number one for them. They just need
I tweeted out my Eastern Conference predictions.
I saw that.
And I do have the Celtics as the number one seed in the East. You know, 53 games last year. Mm-hmm. The Cavs and the Raptors tied for 51 games, I believe it was. I do have them as the number one seed. But to your point, I think they're going to lose a bunch of stupid games at the very beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, but then, you know, we can look at their competition, the Cavs and the Raptors and the Wizards and everything. The Cavs are going to be without Isaiah Thomas likely to start off the season. Derrick Rose. It's a little bit of a different look for them. What kind of role is Kevin Love going to play in everything? I do think it's interesting, though, if you're looking at the Celtics, who that starting two guard spot is going to be. The reports are that it's likely going to be Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. But if I were the Celtics, man, I'd start Marcus Smart next to Kyrie Irving, because not having Avery Bradley as that defensive steward that they had on the team last year to make up for Isaiah Thomas. You could start Marcus Smart there and then have Shane Larkin come off the bench. Mm-hmm. It seems to me you would want to put Marcus Smart there for just defensive reasons, if nothing else.
I was going to say, Smart has been getting a whole lot of love this offseason, at least for his defensive play. It kind of took casual fans to kind of catch up, because I think you were saying it last year where you're like, man, Smart's one of my favorite players. And
yeah, I love Marcus Smart.
So, I mean, you know, I wonder, it would make sense because Kyrie's defense is lacking, and I wonder if he changes that up at all, but I can't imagine it's going to change now. But, you know, you would want someone defensively, and that's going to be the big question for the Celtics, is where's the defense coming from, and how do you fix your rebounding problem? Although, again, you can't really take too many stats from last year because it's a whole new team at this point. So I
think with the rebounding problem, if they start Aaron Baines at the five and Al Horford at the four, that will help a little bit. But it's part of that schematic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree. I also, like you were saying, in terms of the Cavs, so you can look at it from the Celtics, how can they do it? Then you got to look at the Cavs, how could they potentially blow it, I guess. But and then the question with that is, how much rest does LeBron take? You know, when does Isaiah Thomas come back? If Rose gets hurt, there's a lot of questions with them too. So that could factor into the Celtics getting the one seed as well. And you know, that's obviously, you don't ever hope for anybody to get hurt or stuff like that. But that's something you got to take into consideration. If the Cavs trade that one pick again, you know, if they bring over a Gasol, if they bring over a Boogie, there's the question again is does that chemistry hurt the Cavs for a while and maybe drop them a few seeds? Or does it immediately click and then they just go on this tear and don't lose? So I think that's another question that has to be considered for this, at least.
Question number 36.
Will Reggie Jackson be able to return to form this year, or is Stan Van likely to roll out Ish as a starting point guard at some point through the season?
Yeah, with me, I think Reggie Jackson is back. Look, in 2015, 2016, he averaged 19.6 assists while getting the Detroit Pistons to 44 playoff wins. He's going to be playing next to Avery Bradley in the backcourt, which I think is a really good pairing for them. Mm-hmm. Look, last season, he injured himself at the very beginning of the season. It took him a really long time to come back. And when he did, he wasn't all that good. He was averaging 14.5, really inefficient. It seems like he fell out of Stan Van's favor to a certain extent. And even when he came back, he was never really right, but he was tearing it up in training camp the year before. All reports are that he's playing really well right now. Stan Van Gundy sounds confident. And I think if you're the Pistons, that look, Stan Van tried to make that huge swap with their core for other cores last season. Mm-hmm. I think that this year, his job's on the line. He's got to make Andre Drummond work. He's got to make Reggie Jackson work. And I think the whole entire team was a little bit embarrassed, frankly, that they didn't make the postseason last year. And that's why in my predictions, I put the Pistons ahead of the Sixers, mm-hmm. was specifically because of Reggie Jackson, but also Avery Bradley.
Like, I get everyone talking about the injuries and stuff like that, but at least in the stats, I mean, you know, if you look at it, it's not way lower than what he was doing last year. You know what I mean? Like, percentage-wise, he's still pretty much there. If you look at the per 36, sorry, I should mention that. You know, obviously, way less minutes and less games because the injuries. But I mean, for the most part, 43% field goal in 15-16, 41 this year, 19 points per game to his 21. Where's the three-point? The three-point of 35 from last year, 35 this year, actually better this year, but I think it was a visual thing, at least for Reggie Jackson, for more of to see his struggles, obviously falling out with Stan Van. But like, the numbers show he can bring it back. He's already kind of doing it, just at a less impressive mark, I guess. So I think it's there. It was just the injury, like you said, it just kind of took him a second. And I wonder how much we got thrown off by looking at his first 27 games with Detroit in 2014-2015 when he came in and was averaging like something like 10. He only played 27 games, but it was like 10.3 assists per game in his per 36. So I wonder if we look at that like, oh man, he's going to come in here in these 27 games, he's getting 10 assists. This is insane. And then, but if you look at the actual full season of 14-15, he was at somewhere around 7 assists a game, which is about where he was last year and the year before. So I think we see that first stint with the Pistons where he played like phenomenally and kind of get this like, oh my God, this is where he's got to be. Where if you look at the full season from that year, it's kind of like, okay, this is where we are. This is where everything is. And it's about where he is now. I think the consistency just has to come up a little bit.
Getting his confidence back.
And confidence, yeah. So I agree. I think it can happen with the people that have been put around him, sure, complement that idea. So I agree with you where I think he can bring it back this year. The Drive and Dish NBA can now be played hands-free. Just say to your Amazon Echo, play podcast, The Drive and Dish NBA, and you can hear all our episodes. This is a good question because I'm kind of curious to see where everyone thinks because, you know, with the Celtics and with the Cavs, a lot of movement happened. And then you look at the Raptors and even technically, I guess, the Wizards a little bit. You know, the Raptors didn't make much noise this offseason. And so in my opinion, and I guess your opinion, where do you see the Raptors now in the East with all the shakeups? Can they get back to that number two or number one spot? You know, are they still behind the Cavs and Celtics in your mind?
So the Raptors won 51 games last year. And I think what happens with casual basketball fans is they see the Raptors burn out in the playoffs every year and then they think they're garbage. Don't sleep on the Raptors as a regular season team. If I could give one piece of advice to any casual fan or NBA player that happens to be listening to the Drive Dish podcast right now, don't sleep on the Raptors as a regular season team. They are damn good. So with the Raptors specifically, the question, can they get to the first or second seed? I think it's really possible. They won the same amount of games as Cleveland last year. So all they really need to do is stay in pat, right? Keeping Ibaka. Mm-hmm. Right. So what they want to do is they want to move Ibaka to the five. They have to get rid of Valanciunas, or they need to get a better backup to Kyle Lowry, which will likely be DeLon Wright this season. And if they can get, because they lost Corey Joseph, can they get, you know, a backup point guard? And how does that all that work? But Dwayne Casey, you know, he said specifically our challenge this year is for us to establish a young second unit, which means more minutes for DeLon Wright, Fred, Pascal, Jacob, and all those guys. The team last year, they ranked 26th in the NBA in bench scoring, averaging 31.2 points per game for their bench. And they are a really light team as far as their bench. There's not a lot of depth to that team right now. Mm-hmm. But I think they can do it. The East is garbage. You have the Celtics, who have basically an entirely new team. Mm-hmm. You have the Cavs, who need to reintroduce Isaiah Thomas, and they're going to be running out Derrick Rose, so that counts for some losses right there. Yeah, I think it's possible, man.
I agree with you. I just wondered, like you always say with fans, we love the shiny new toy. We love to see the new. We want to talk about the new stuff. But then you look at it, it's like, the Wizards and the Raptors didn't make much noise. I mean, the Wizards signing John Wall is great, but like that's not new and shiny. So,
no, but it's also another year of team chemistry and playing together, and there is something to be said for continuity, right?
Right, and you know, then the question comes with Otto Porter: how does he, you know, progress, and can he progress a little bit more? The expectations with him always kind of vary person to person, and. You know, I saw with your East predictions that you tweeted out the other day, people were upset that you had Toronto over the Wizards. And so I wonder, like, are we counting them out like you're saying, or is this when we're going to see them start to regress a little bit?
I don't see why they'd regress.
I don't either.
They do have a lack of depth now if they have an injury, but when we do these predictions and things, you can never predict injury.
Right.
I try and keep that, you know, but if one of their major guys, where whether you're talking about Kyle Lowry, who seems to miss 15, 20 games a season, or, you know, heaven forbid, if DeMar DeRozan, you know, he were to go out with an injury, that would obviously really hurt the team. But, you know, Norman Powell, he took huge strides last year and basically saved the series against the Bucks for him. What does he contribute?
One of the Raptors Republic writers tweeted out that Norman Powell went to some foreign country, I forget what it was, and fell in a ditch, and he posted this video, and the whole time I'm like, oh my god, is he okay? And I'm watching it. This guy like jumps in the hole and they're holding him by his feet, and I'm like, how did Norman Powell fit in this hole? Like, it's so tiny, I don't understand. And then next thing you know, they pull out a goat, and I was like, all right, good one. I get that.
Like, he actually fell. That's funny, Justin.
I was like, okay, credit to you, sir. That was a good one. You had me the whole time, and I was like, I don't know how this plays out. I don't know how he got in there. I need more to this story. So we can move on to the next question, number 32.
Is it 33? Who is your sleeper team to watch this year?
So I don't know if it's like a sleeper team, but it's just a team I'm really interested in. I want to see the Jazz. I just have so many questions about the Jazz. And I really want to know if we think that they're going to make it into the playoffs. Because there's so much shakeup in the West. I would say I would also throw the Nuggets into this list too for me. I'm really going to be kind of closely watching the Jazz and the Nuggets. The Nuggets obviously see Jokic a full year, all the moves that they've done, you know, to see where that lands them in the West. And then the Jazz, more specifically, they lost their star and lost their top two scorers. So, and brought in Rubio. So I want to see what happens. Obviously, the lobs to Rudy Gobert are going to be pretty phenomenal as well. So those are the two teams I have.
I'm going to go with the Pelicans, man.
Yep.
The Pelicans are going to have Rondo, Tony Allen, and DeMarcus Cousins.
Jeez. Don't forget Anthony Davis.
Yeah, Anthony Davis. They're going to be a lot of fun. No, in all seriousness, though, I with the Hornets, they're a team I'm really interested in watching this year.
Yeah.
I mean, front to back, if you look at their starting lineup, Kemba Walker, Nick Batum, Kid Gilchrist, Marvin Williams.
Frank?
Yeah, Frank Kaminsky.
I'm going to make you say Cody. It.
You know, say it. Dwight Howard, Cody Zeller. I do think that team could be really good. And by really good, I mean I think they could fall into the sixth seed in the East. I do think that they'll probably make a return to the playoffs, or at least better than they were last year. And I think that they could be one of those teams that everyone sleeps on because they had a disappointing season last year, especially when Cody Zeller was injured. Hopefully, you know, with this year with Dwight Howard, even if Cody Zeller does suffer an injury, it's not such a gigantic loss to the entire team.
I was going to say,
you don't want Cody Zeller being the linchpin of whether or not you make the postseason.
Right. I would also say with Dwight Howard, people hate on him so much that you would think his stats are so bad, but he still puts up good numbers. Like, it's not terrible. So I
feel like a 14 and 13 guy.
Right, but the way people talk about him, you'd think he'd be out there putting up no points and no rebounds. So I agree. I think the Hornets will be fun to watch as well, and they're one of the teams that have changed a good amount. This episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/driveanddish. Again, that's audibletrial.com/driveanddish. We also have the link on our website, driveanddishpodcast.com. So one of the teams that's local here to us that we hear a lot of talk about, a lot of fans around us, the Magic. The question being Elfrid Payton, because he's up for a contract this year. His rookie contract's going to be up at the end of this year, and the question being, do they keep him, do they move him, do they re-sign him? What happens with Elfrid Payton going into next year or towards the end of next year? Do they trade him? Is he going to be on the Magic going forward?
This happened with the Lakers last year too, with a couple of their players, is that once you get past a certain point of the season, just like everybody stops paying attention to you if you're garbage.
And believe one me, thing that... I know. I've been. I'm on the Elfrid Payton bandwagon. I was rooting for him the whole way through. 5 triple doubles. I'm just saying that's the same as Draymond Green.
Dude, the last 2 months of the season, he averaged 14 points with the steal, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, while shooting 75% from the charity strike and 33% from behind the arc, 51% overall. Mm-hmm. He really had a turnaround. And if he can do that again this season, but sustain mm-hmm. numbers close to that, mm-hmm. where you're getting excellent rebounds from the guard position, excellent assists, decent 3-point shot, you know, slightly below league average, but that's, yeah. you know, if you can stay around 33, they at least got to close out on you a little bit, right? They can't go under all the screens. No, I think that he stays, and I do think that there's a chance for sustained success with him. And I think oftentimes we give up on these players so soon. And don't forget that the point guard position is the hardest position in the NBA to play.
It is, but that it seems to be the one that has the most players in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, where are you going to move them to? And then right. so you have to take that into it. Yeah. It's the deepest position in the league. Every team's got a damn point guard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess maybe they would trade him to the Suns for Eric Bledsoe.
Right.
But, you know, like every team realistically has a point guard right now. There's not a huge point guard need. Mm-hmm. I was going to say the Knicks, but even the Knicks, you know, they just drafted Neal Aquina
yeah.
with their top 10 picks. So in theory, they have one.
I would say too with by the way, those 5 triple doubles, more than Giannis, just saying.
Oh.
he also posted a player impact estimate of 11.7 last season, which was more than Iggy, Klay Thompson, Kristaps Porzingis. So it just puts it into perspective. He had his first year that he had a player efficiency rating over that league average of 15, he was at 17.2. Like, he wasn't terrible. Everyone just was harping on him because he had this persona that he was terrible. And it happens a lot with players where even if they play well, nobody's going to give him the credit. And so
it takes like 2 seasons.
Right. And so I was on his train. I was tweeting every single time he got a triple double. I was on that. I was posting about it. I was posting about it a minute ago about how it makes me happy. He has the same amount of triple doubles as Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually then people were using that as like a reason to never use triple doubles as a stat.
I mean, there's a certain amount of truth to that.
Right.
Also, Draymond Green like quietly shot like 40% last year. So yep. The last question for this, the first part of our 4-part series, as we preview the upcoming 2017-2018 NBA season. It's finally here. Question number 31. ESPN's NBA BPI rankings, the Bulls are dead last. Name 2 teams that the Bulls could beat out.
If I were to, I mean, I feel like you got to put the Nuggets in that area, right?
Not the Nuggets.
Sorry.
No?
Oh my God.
No, I don't.
Not the Nuggets. I meant the Nets. I feel like the Nets could be there.
I don't. I think the Nets are going to be better this year. They have too many shooting guards, but I do think that the Nets are definitely going to be better this year. I think the Nets are going to be like the 5th worst team as opposed to the worst.
I'm trying to think. I'm looking at the teams right now, trying to see if anybody comes.
I put the Suns because depending on last
well,
year.
Yeah.
The Suns rested Eric Bledsoe and Tyson Chandler post All-Star break. Do they do that again?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Knicks minus Melo.
Yeah, if they lose Melo, although like Porzingis could potentially pull them up, right?
Right. There is no team in the NBA that I want to watch less than the Bulls this coming season.
Hawks?
Oh, yeah. We should have put the Hawks up there. But you know what? The Hawks have Budenholzer. So
you would think they'd get some good play out of them. I feel like the Hawks might be there, man.
They might. I mean, the Hawks are headed straight to the lottery. You know, come November 1st, they're already looking at that top 5 pick.
So I'd argue the Hawks, maybe your Suns, depending on how everything works out. I feel like the Lakers aren't going to be there because they're going to get some wins because they're not in tank now mode. They're in kind of like, all right, let's start winning mode. It seems like
we need to prove to Paul George.
Yeah, I would also say, I guess. No, I think that's it in my mind. That's it.
Remember when you said the Nuggets?
I didn't mean the Nuggets. Don't at me with that. Don't at me with that. That was a mistake. It happens sometimes when you're talking about a bunch of teams, you say the wrong thing. And I had the N in the word right, not Nuggets, Nets. Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Hawks, and I'm gonna live and die on that hill. I think.
The Nuggets? No.
No, they're definitely going to be in the playoffs, man. They're definitely going to be there.
Did you disagree with something we said on our last podcast? Let us know by weighing in our Facebook page. Like us at Drive and Dish NBA Podcast.
Do you think any of the Pacers are going to be in the All-Star game?
Oh, I think Victor Oladipo has a chance.
Victor Oladipo. What about, because it's so flooded with talent. I was going to say Miles Turner.
Now, Miles Turner one day, but I think Victor Oladipo is a player that he's going to return to form.
I hope so.
You're looking at the East where there's, you know, not a ton of guards, especially good ones that are playing the entirety of the season. If Victor Oladipo is able to take some of those point guard duties off of Darren Collison and get the Pacers into, like, you know, a respectable position, could he be a guard in the East? And yeah, I think it's possible.
Okay. Yeah, that was one that I saw floating around. People weren't really sure because everyone's go-to was Miles Turner because he's like that big star of the team now. But again, you look at that position, it's like, all right, who's he going to beat out to get there, you know? If you consider, you know, a center, there's a lot of centers there, man. And you would assume that they're going to get it over him specifically because of the record.
I mean, power forward, you know, Kevin
power
Love obviously
too.
Gets there first. Yep. You know, what do you consider Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yeah. I agree. So, I mean, it will be interesting. I guess their all-star nudge lives and dies with Victor Oladipo.
So, thanks for joining us on this episode as we kick off our four-episode preview series. We're also going to be doing some one-offs where we talk to some team writers and that kind of thing. If you haven't had a chance yet, I spoke with Gerald Bourget over at Hoops Habit this last week, talking about the Phoenix Suns season outlook with them. So that conversation was a lot of fun. I know that Kevin's going to be doing a couple. I know that Justin, you're going to be doing a couple.
Yeah, I want to bring back, who do we talk to? Harrison Wind for the Nuggets, and I want to bring back Andy Larson for the Jazz. So we'll talk to those guys as well.
All right. Well, Media Day is Monday. We'll probably have some thoughts on that on next week's episode. And thanks for listening to this week's Drive and Dish.
I think we've done enough dancing for today. So why don't we dance Wednesday?
See you, Star Side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Get in the hole.
Da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
Let's go while we're young.
All right. I think they get the point.